Brett Thomas here. I'm here with Edward West. Edward, thank you for joining us.
Brett, thank you so much for having me today. I'm really excited about this conference, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Well, I'm really looking forward to this conversation. For those listening, some of you will be familiar with Edward's work, and perhaps some of you may not be. Edward is an integral entrepreneur and has had a long time interest in sustainable business, in clean technology, in finding ways to evolve and improve our transportation system, and especially as it relates to electric vehicles. And he has a lot of other interests that we're going to talk about as well, in terms of integral business, integral entrepreneurship, capital markets, all these things. And Edward, I just really appreciate you and having this conversation. And one of the reasons is I find that entrepreneurs are unique people and integral thinkers and folks with an integral philosophy are unique people. So that makes you, I think, doubly unique. And so tell us just a little bit about kind of what you're up to and what is capturing your imagination these days, and what are you particularly interested in?
Yeah, well, I appreciate the introduction, and I'm happy to tell you a little bit of some of the things I'm working on. You know, fundamentally, as kind of bullet points on a high level, I'm really interested in just trying to build new things in the world, you know, and use the tools of business to create social and environmental change. And so some of the things I'm working on right now as kind of embodiments of that are, I started in 2007, you mentioned briefly, I started a company called Mission Motors, and the idea there was we were going to create a high-performance electric motorcycle in order to try to attract modernists and traditionalists to sort of electric vehicles, because a lot of folks were pretty skeptical that electric vehicles were going to be interesting or compelling, or you know, it's sort of like eating kale and tofu or something. But we figured if we could create an electric motorcycle, that would appeal to kind of the roughest, toughest gearheads, then that could kind of be like a marketing plan for all of clean tech. And we've done that, and we've created an extraordinary motorcycle. And not only that, the technology that created that motorcycle, or we're now selling to vehicle manufacturers, so that's pretty cool.
So it sounds like you took something. I really appreciate your language.
Yeah.
taking a technology and making it popular for modernists and traditionalists, and you described it as eating kale and tofu. So here's something that you know, postmodernists have a natural interest in electric,
right,
you know, vehicles and
right,
so on. But as you just said, modernists and traditionalists generally had very little, if any, interest. And so it wasn't just. So what you're saying is, this wasn't an afterthought. That you actually created a racing motorcycle as a way to popularize the technology that you hoped would end up where in our transportation system? What was the
mainstream
bigger
transportation
plan?
System. Basically cars, buses, hybrids, everywhere. Everywhere that there's a gasoline engine, we aim to put, as appropriate, an electric motor and battery and software system to help to reduce carbon emissions, reduce use of fossil fuels, and enable the use of renewable energy directly to fuel our transportation infrastructure.
Now, I've seen the pictures of the Mission Motor motorcycles,
yeah,
and, you know, some of the videos that you shared with me and stuff. So what you're saying is this is like the sexiest Trojan horse that anybody's ever made?
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's a marketing plan for all of clean tech. And the thing is we knew from the start that we wanted to create something that would perform at a level that we wouldn't have to make any apologies or say that, well, you know, it's green and it's, you know, almost as good. you know, this not only is this green, but it's faster, it's more fun, it's better looking, it's the whole package.
Wow. You know, this conference is about integral leadership, and one of the things that I think about integral leadership is a leader is someone who goes first. A leader is someone who shows a new way. A leader is someone who takes responsibility for improving something or making a change. And I think when we think of integral leadership, we're being informed by our integral understanding. And you understood that traditionalists and modernists and, like you said, the rough and tough, you know, kind of gearhead folks didn't have any interest in clean tech, and you set out deliberately to sort of use skillful means. It's what the Buddha referred to it as, meeting people where they are and influencing them according to what their understanding is and how they understand things. And so that sounds a lot like integral leadership in a entrepreneurial vein.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Do you resonate with that?
Absolutely.
So it's deliberate. This is not by accident in any means.
Absolutely. This was the plan. This was the plan from the start. And I was, you know, it was very interesting actually. Some of the first business plans that I wrote had this sort of long and convoluted explanation, you know, using integral language of why I was doing what I was doing. And, you know, my business partners at the time and the investor that I was showing it to, they're like, what the hell is this? But so I took that out.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
Yeah. But the plan, the plan didn't change, even though the language came out. And, I think, one of the things that's really exciting is we reached a pretty amazing milestone just about 9 days prior to this recording, where we in front of a crowd of 150,000 people rode our motorcycle to victory against teams from Italy, Germany, and all over the U.S. We were crowned the world champions there. And
wow.
And what's amazing about this, you know, the people have been racing these things just for a couple of years now, 3 years, and this is the first year that we were going as fast as the gasoline motorcycles, and so people really stood up and took notice this time more than ever before.
Wow. That's an incredible story that you had set out with an integrally informed intention. And, you know, it's early. You spoke about it's only been a few years that there's been this electric, you know, these electric motorcycle tournaments and so on. And similarly, it's still pretty early in integral years.
Yeah.
You know, the integral community, folks that are integrally informed in all kinds of fields, and right now we're talking about business, it's still pretty new figuring out how to really leverage these integral perspectives and the integral understanding in a way that really gets results. And this is one of the reasons that I've always, you know, enjoy talking with you is you have an unequivocal case study that is a deliberate application of integral approaches and, you know, with business success. And I really appreciate how you said, you know, the business is such a key to influencing change. And so, wow, what a great case study. I'm just really appreciative of what you guys have accomplished with this.
I totally agree with where you're going with that, because I think that you know, that's part of why I'm drawn to integral entrepreneurship and integral business is I've sort of seen how ineffectual, you know, our governments are creating change, how ineffectual a lot of sort of social movements seem to be at creating change. And I sort of see business as kind of this huge lever that we need to figure out how to use.
Right.
And specifically, integral entrepreneurship is exciting because I think that actually could be one of the kind of killer apps of integral, because entrepreneurship is about sort of identifying opportunities, sort of seeing a new world that's never been seen before, and being able to kind of share and communicate a vision to a lot of different stakeholders to kind of enact a new reality. And integrally informed, integrally aware people. I mean, that there's it's almost like an unfair advantage.
to
have all these incredible tools and math. And so the sort of the integrally informed entrepreneur, I sort of imagine as the kind of the new philosopher king. Business is the lever that's going to change the world, and integral entrepreneurs are going to be able to see further past the horizon than people without these kinds of worldviews. This is where really radical change is going to come from. And a lot of the changes that we've seen over the last, 50 years that have just been so extraordinary have been almost, invention driven by entrepreneurs. It's advances in telecommunications, advances in transportation. And so integral entrepreneurship is going to take all that to the next level.
Wow, I'm so inspired by that point. And I intuitively believe what you're saying will be true. And I have had little glimpses of, our friends and colleagues and clients and business partners and so on that have used these integral approaches for, as you said, almost an unfair competitive advantage. And I don't mean it to be unfair. It's just the point is it's a huge competitive advantage. When applied, certainly I know a lot of CEOs that are applying integral leadership approaches and getting terrific results. But nevertheless, it's still relatively uncommon. It's not like we can point to, here's 200 case studies of applying integral and they had a, 30% better return on investment. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point in the future we had statistics like that. But as we were saying earlier, it's still pretty early. And I think so, case studies like yourself, and there's a number of other people coming to the conference that will be on panels and stuff together with. So it's not unheard of, but it's still relatively new and it's still relatively modern and exciting to have these early wins and these early examples. I know that you're interested in, you have many interests, and then I know, you've often talked about what you've learned about money and what you've learned about capital markets and the sort of, the power to get things done like this. Can you share a little bit about what some of those insights are, being an integrally informed person, going through this amazing experience you've gone through, raising millions of dollars, doing research and development, bringing a product to market? I mean, what an experience. In fact, you also teach at a business college.
Yeah.
So can you just share a little bit about, what did you learn?
I'd like to start with the business school. That's actually one of the things that I'm doing that I'm most excited about right now. I'm teaching at a place called the Presidio Graduate School. And it's not that well known. It's a relatively new school, and it's a school that offers an MBA in sustainable business management.
Wow.
And it was a program I went to and graduated in 2007. And what's amazing about the program is that it actually kind of attracts postmodernists. It attracts people that kind of used to be activists or used to work in nonprofits, and now they're saying, hang on, I think I might be able to get more done, create more change in the world if I put on a suit and kind of talk the talk of modernists. And try to kind of work my way into the world that way to create sort of positive environmental, social environmental change, and that was pretty exciting for me. And what's really exciting for me now to go back there and teach is that I'm starting to introduce these students to integral ideas. I introduced them to Ken's work, to Robert Keegan's work. Some of the work that Barrett Brown and Sean Esbjorn-Hergens have done on effective communication across worldviews. And I'm kind of an evangelist for entrepreneurship because, I see entrepreneurship in a way as truly subversive And it's one of the best ways that we have to kind of overturn existing systems that are no longer serving the collective, is to just create an alternative, and by the processes of creative destruction, to kind of bring about radically new possibilities, radically new offerings, and a radically new world.
I love it. So that's what you kind of hope to do. What were the big ahas that you've had that you're bringing back to these students? You know, what's different? Because you were, I guess, like those students, you were, had a, you know, somewhat of a postmodern or certainly a sustainable kind of, you know, make the world a better place, improve the world orientation. You were very interested in green technology, but then you went out and dealt with the, you know, played hardball. You know, when you go out and you raise money and you you move in those circles and start dealing with, you know, the capital markets and start dealing with, you know, various I mean, you must have like some battle scars and some wisdom that you've earned that you're able to bring back to those students. So what's changed about you since you were a student there and now you've gone and done all these things, and you know, what did you learn? What are the insights that you, just a couple that you could share in this, you know, brief conversation?
Man, I don't know what to say exactly. It's I think I have more scars than skin, maybe at this point. I don't know.
Wow. So it wasn't easy. This was not a walk in the park. Look at us. We're having all this fun playing with fancy toys and
crap.
This was you had to take a lot of risk and you actually, you know, it was difficult.
I think what's the hardest part, maybe in certain regards of being an integral entrepreneur is, you know, even if I kind of fancy that I might be able to see something that other people couldn't see, I wasn't always able to communicate that very effectively, you know, even with Barrett's and Sean's tools. And you know, definitely, it's kind of a rough and tumble world. And you know, nobody cares how sophisticated your worldview is if you're out of money, and you know, nobody's interested in your stuff. In certain circumstances, maybe your offering isn't quite right, or it can be a bumpy, rough and tumble world. But I can tell you, I wouldn't rather be doing anything else, because it's just so. I kind of thrive on risk, and I kind of get really enthusiastic about things that I have no idea whether or not it's possible to achieve them, and I definitely don't always succeed. But it's you know, part of the game, I guess.
Well, it really excites me to see more and more of this type of energy of integrating that, you know, actualizing, you know, and this. You know, these various energies of self-improvement and philosophy and, like you say, very sophisticated worldviews with the reality of actually making things happen in the world. And that's, you know, that's the difference between integral theory and integral leadership to me. You know, integral leadership is about doing things, being integrally informed, but doing things. And I'm so appreciative of pioneers like yourself. Did you want to share anything about your interest in the capital markets?
Say,
I mean, do
I'll
you
say,
want to create change in that area, or are you optimistic that change is happening?
I'll say a couple things about that. There's what you're hinting at and mentioned before. There's another kind of a startup that I've been kind of exploring at the early idea phase. Part of what was really interesting for me about Mission Motors was that, you know, it was never very simple to raise money in the kind of traditional ways, and so, be that venture capital, angels, things like that. And what some other friends and I are exploring is a way to create a kind of structural change in the way that people raise money for new businesses, and that type of innovation, especially with some of the things that we're trying to bake in that can kind of create transparency and create tools to encourage sustainability from early stages, are going to be really exciting. And I think they're going to be creating a profound kind of contribution to the way people start businesses in the next 5 to 10 years. And I won't say too much more about that, but that's kind of a watch this space kind of thing, and that's where I see the next some of the next evolution of the things that I'm focusing on to try to create radically enabling structures to create change through entrepreneurship.
That is so needed. I'm aware of a lot of sad stories, including people very close to me, with dealing with the way, the as you say, the kind of traditional way of raising money, and the way the markets kind of work. It's a pretty old model, and it's pretty brutal. And it's not very conscious. I think it's fair to say. So that is the very least. So that I love to hear that you're focusing some of your creativity in that direction, because I think a lot of people could benefit from that. So speaking of people benefiting, when you think about some of the ideas you're going to bring to the Integral Leadership Collaborative Conference, and you think about the possibility of bringing all these different folks together, entrepreneurs, thinkers, leaders, people who support leaders, coaches, consultants, just folks that care about Integral, have, like you say, a sophisticated worldview, an Integral worldview, and want to do something with that in the world. Yeah. Do you have a sense of your own kind of aspiration or hope that of something positive that could come out of us coming together in this way, for this conference? And if so, what would that be?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I sort of see that as a big part of what I'm interested in helping to bring about by participating in this is how can we bring self-identified Integral folks kind of into the chaos of trying to build real things in the real world, and how do we leverage these sort of extraordinary sophisticated maps that we've built and that others have built who've come before to really give us an advantage to start building a new world that embodies the values that we hold. Now, how can we stand against the tide to kind of be radical expressions of clarity and radical expressions of the love that all of us are in this sort of rough and tumble world of commerce? Because that's so much of where change is needed, and it's an incredibly effective leverage point for creating change, both. And so if this conference can help to coax some integralists out into the world of business and entrepreneurship and creating change, then that's done a very good service for the world.
Wow. I'm very inspired by that question. I think that's exactly the right question. And if we can even begin to get a little closer to some answers and it collectively, as a group, begin to come closer to some answers to that question, then I think it'll be a really big step forward. Even if people just get a little bit more confident and a little bit more eager to take a little bit more initiative because of, your experience and the other experiences of the people that we'll be sharing. Well, I am deeply grateful that you're participating in this conversation and in our our phone call today, and then especially on the panels and be involved with the conference so other people that haven't met you yet can meet you and learn about your work. And just a deep bow, I'm really grateful, Edward, for what you're doing in the world. And I just thanks for being out there on the leading edge, and please continue what you're doing. So thanks for this call.
Yeah, Brett, thank you so much. I mean, I'm honored to be a participant, and definitely I see myself among some of these people who I've watched and certainly admired, and I'm sort of new here, and I really appreciate getting invited to participate in this way, and I'm really glad you're putting on the conference.
Well, it's truly our pleasure. All right, well, thank you again, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you at the conference. We'll say bye for now.
Thank you very much, Brett. Thanks,
Edward.